When you tell somebody that has been bound that they are now free, it's a really hard thing to say to somebody like that. Now use your opportunity of freedom to serve others. Well, isn't that the problem before? Like, we were in bondage. We had a master. We couldn't have any freedom. And now that God gives us freedom, we're being told to serve others. I illustrated that by saying, can you imagine telling people who had once been in slavery that finally found their emancipation, now use this as an opportunity, not for yourself, but to serve? But that's the idea when it comes to being a Christian. You see, really what was going on in our servitude before Christ was that we were serving ourselves, and because we were serving ourselves, we had a tyrant master who was wrecking our life. Now that we've been freed from that evil one, we now are actually freed to use all of our resources, not in a selfish way, but in a way to serve others. And that's really what all these lessons have been exploring there in chapter 5, starting in verse 13. We sort of separated the text this way. I'll just put that up there to remind you of some of the lessons that we learned. He warned us in chapter 5 and verse 15 that we can actually end up biting and devouring each other. You know, the reason that I chose to do this series this year is after 2020 and now 2021, there's just a lot of talk about freedom and how we want our freedoms. And in that discussion of being free and wanting our freedoms, there's been a whole lot of biting and devouring each other politically and in our world. And we can't let those attitudes creep into the church, into the kingdom of God. We've got to maintain our focus on what he goes on to say, is that we are not serving the flesh, but we're serving the Spirit. The deeds of the flesh look like this. The fruit of the Spirit looks like this. And if the Spirit really is our guide, if we are truly being walking by, look there at April, if we're walking by, if we're following, if we're living by the Spirit of God, then we are going to be the kind of servants that produce the fruit of that. And so there in May, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit versus the deeds of the flesh. Now go ahead and look at chapter 6, verse 1, and you can kind of correspond to what we have up there. In June, we talked about verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. And we kind of put the stress in that verse on any one and any temptation. See, it doesn't matter why some of us might get lost, and it doesn't even matter who it is that's getting lost. Those of us that are spiritually minded, that are led by the Spirit, we care about those souls. And so we're going to go after them and try to restore them. There in verse 2, it says that we are to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You see, fulfilling the law of Christ is not just about us becoming Christians. Fulfilling the law of Christ is when we do what we became Christians to do. Like, without bearing the other burdens of others, then we're not really fulfilling the law. So that's the call there. And so then in August, we talked about examination and self-deception. How do we really look at ourselves and not be deceived? That's going to come up again here in our study in just a minute. And then last month, I talked about chapter 6, verse 6. That was the awkward sermon where I got up and said, hey, everybody, I'm the one who teaches you. And that verse says that you need to share with those that teach you. And so somebody left a gift on my desk this morning. It was a coffee mug, a little bit snarky. You know who did that? You got one too? Okay. So somebody's given Rick and I coffee mugs. We appreciate that. And so you can go back and listen to that lesson if you'd like. It wasn't just about taking care of people that stand in the pulpit. That lesson was really about taking care of each other because we all mutually edify and help each other. And we need to be the kind of people that are willing to pay each other back and to help each other in every way we can. That leads us now to verse 7 in our study for this month on sowing and reaping. Let's read verses 7 through 9 in chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're going to talk about the last 2 months, those phrases, don't lose heart or grow weary, and then while we have opportunity. But I want you to focus in on verses 7 through 9 now, in this idea of sowing and reaping. Now, I'm going to get back to this in a minute, but it really is still connected to verse 6. What Paul is saying is, your willingness to share your resources with people who are helping you spiritually is a way for you to sow to the Spirit. When you write a check every week and put it in the collection basket, when you spend your time being a part of Bible studies, that is you sowing to your Spirit. Not only does it do them good by you sowing your seed, it does you good because you reap a harvest that is spiritual. You see, other people use their time, their money, their energy to sow to their own life, their own flesh. And the benefit of that, according to this, is corruption. We'll say more about that when we get to that section. You know, this illustration of sowing and reaping, this has always been a hard one for me as a city boy. Like, I didn't grow up farming, and I didn't even grow up where we even grew anything in our yard. I think there were times where we tried to have gardens out back, and I remember as a very young child, my mom grew strawberries back there. But sowing and reaping is not like a concept that I've thought very deeply about. So think about it just for a minute. Everything that we've ever eaten that's come from the earth has been because God gave seed and somebody planted the seed, or that seed somehow fell to the earth and began to grow. And then eventually that food was harvested and we were able to sustain ourselves because of the law of sowing and reaping. And there are some like general rules about sowing and reaping that I'm going to finish the lesson with that are just universal laws of harvest. But for now, I want you to think about this idea that what you gain or what you get comes from what you put in. How many times does the Bible talk like that? I want to give you just a few examples. These are examples of the principle of sowing and reaping in Scripture that you might be familiar with. This is not exhaustive. In fact, as I put this list up rather quickly, I'll encourage you to think of other Bible examples of sowing and reaping. But look over in Mark chapter 4 for a minute. Mark chapter 4. Jesus starts a sermon or a parable in verse 3 with the word listen. You see that there in chapter 4, verse 3? Listen. And then he actually tells a parable about sowing and reaping. A sower went out to sow some seed. We find out later that seed was the word that was given. And then it fell on different kinds of hearts, and it grew different ways because of those hearts. But notice verse 3. He said, listen. And then at the end of the parable in verse 9, he said this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it becomes very apparent that what Jesus cares about from true disciples is how we pay attention. Why? Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "So that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." Look, there's this principle about listening to God that says something like this. The point of listening is to understand. And if you don't listen well, you won't understand. And if you don't understand, you won't return and repent. So skip down a few more verses. Look at verse 23. Mark 4:23, Jesus says again, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides." You see that last phrase in verse 24? By the standard of measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That's the law of sowing and reaping. So, one example of sowing and reaping is this. If we sow hearing and listening to God, we will reap understanding and faith. That's what chapter 4 teaches. What you put in to your efforts to pay attention in your own Bible study, in the preaching of the gospel, will produce a harvest of understanding and faith. That's the principle. Go back in Matthew 7 for a minute. Look how Jesus said this here. Matthew 7, verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Do you know that? That's a form of sowing and reaping. What do you sow? You sow asking. You ask questions. You seek. You knock. And when you sow those kind of activities, you reap the benefit. You ask and you will receive. You seek, you will find. You knock, it'll be opened. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Let me show you another one. Matthew 23. Look at Matthew 23. Verse 12. "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." You know, some people might say what we're talking about here is kind of what you learned in science class. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Like every cause has an effect and every effect has a cause. But this law of sowing and reaping, according to this, looks like this. I'm going to put two verses together. The one that sounds a lot like Matthew 23:12 is James 4:6. If we sow humility, we reap exaltation. That's Matthew 23:12. Or if you use James 4, if you sow humility, you reap grace. God's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace and exaltation to the humble. Now, if you sow pride, then what you reap is opposition. That's the law of sowing and reaping. So maybe your mind's already starting to spin with other examples like this in the Bible, where God says, if you do this, this is what you'll find. If you put this in, this is what you'll get. So places like Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you sow forgiveness, you'll reap mercy. God is merciful to those that show mercy. But if you won't be forgiving of others, why would you expect God to forgive you? You want a harvest of forgiveness? Sow mercy. Let me show you one more that I think is one of my favorites with this law of sowing and reaping. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, But they're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What does Psalm 1 teach about what we should be sowing? Well, there's two options. You can sow your time and attention to the counsel of the wicked, the path of sinners, and the seed of scoffers. What you'll harvest if you put your time and energy and efforts into listening to that is the chaff that the wind blows away. That's the negative sowing and reaping in this chapter. But the positive sowing and reaping is if you delight in the Word of God and you sow meditation. By the way, this is the most overlooked discipline in Christianity. You guys ever noticed how often we preachers tell you to study your Bibles? Study your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, read your Bible. And some of you like get really serious about it. And so you start at the beginning of the year and you're like, all right, I'm going to read through the whole Bible this year. There's great benefit in that. Has anybody ever done this though? Have you ever tried to read through the Bible in a year and you read like all of it or most of it and you're like, I did it. And then you're like, what did I read? Like, what was that again? You see, reading and studying is only part of the process. The thing that a lot of us do is we read it, we set it down, and we forget what we read. Where the power of God's word is when we do what the Bible says is called meditation. We ruminate on it. That means to chew the cud. You see, the benefit for the cow is not when he eats the grass for the first time. It's when it goes into his first stomach and then he brings it back up and chews on it for a while. And it goes into the next stomach and then he brings it back up and he chews on it for a while. And then it goes into his next stomach. He ruminates. He meditates. What's the benefit? Look at the text. Four of the greatest things God ever promised. And they're all in verse 3. Verse 3 says, you'll be planted, you'll be productive, you'll be protected, and you'll be prosperous. Do you see all that? You want to be firmly planted in your life, not tossed to and fro. You want to have a root system that will constantly be fed. Sow meditation. And you'll find stability. And you'll also find produce. You'll produce your fruit in the season when you're supposed to. You'll find protection. Your leaf will not wither. You know why your leaf won't wither? Because whatever external sort of threat there is to cause you to wither will be counteracted by what's inside of you. You know why trees next to rivers don't wither like trees in the desert? It has nothing to do with their external thing. It's all internal. They're being constantly hydrated and nourished inside, and it protects them from everything outside. And God made this promise. If you sow meditation, you'll be protected from withering. And then finally, the last part of that verse says, you'll be prosperous in whatever you do. That's a great promise. That's the law of sowing and reaping. And by the way, that's not really even Paul's point in Galatians 6. All of that is true, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. But Paul has something else in mind in Galatians 6. So let's go back there and think about it for a minute. What is Paul talking about when he says, sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh? That could involve a lot of things. But I'm going to give you these four words: time, money, energy, and strength. You know, I want you to think about everybody's life, everyone you know. Everyone has the same amount of time. That's one of those resources that isn't different, you know? Like, everybody's got 24 hours. Now, granted, some people have less responsibility during that 24 hours, young people. You guys don't have as much stuff you have to do as your parents to make sure you survive in that 24 hours. So actually, that's a resource that young, single, non-parent types have that's usually more than others. Money. Or if you don't want to use the word money, just think about goods that you have. Whether that money is in liquid form or something concrete like possessions, homes, vehicles, toys, games, whatever. You have some amount of energy that you've used to get here, some amount of strength that diminishes as you get older. But I'm going to suggest to you that that's actually the seed that he's referring to in this text. When he said in verse 6, I want you to share every good thing with those that teach you. That's the kind of resources he was talking about. Spend your time with them. Share your goods with them. Use your energy and strength to listen to them and participate with them. So here are two truths about this. Everyone has God-given seed to sow, and everyone sows that seed somewhere. I want to stop for just a second. Lessons like this can be a little bit hard, because at the end of a lesson like this, here's what most people are going to feel. I'm not doing a very good job of sowing as I should to the Spirit so that I can reap a harvest that's spiritual. I'm not doing a very good job of that. Now, everyone who feels like that is going to go through this kind of process. Well, that's not my fault, you know? Some people have greater resources than me. The reason I'm not sowing to my spiritual life is because I'm not as rich as some. I'm not as healthy as some. I'm not as energetic or as strong. I don't have as much time as somebody else. But just wait for a second. Think about it. Everybody has some amount of these resources. And you know who the giver of those things is? God. In our scripture reading earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just remember verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 said this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now listen close to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. A lesson like this can be hard, but here's what we need to remember. Do you know how good God is to each of us? Do you know how good he is to each of us? We're breathing his air. We're walking around in bodies that he prepared. We're eating his food. We're living on his planet. And every one of us has the same amount of time today to do whatever we want with that time. And every one of us has some amount of seed when it comes to possession and strength and energy. And we are all doing something with it. There's not one of us that isn't spending our time, money, energy, and strength on something. But here's the second lesson. Here's the truth about the harvest. what we spend our time, money, energy, and strength on is either going to produce for us corruption or eternal life. Well, those are two pretty opposite ideas, aren't they? Now, to be clear, you could take your time, your money, your energy, and your strength, take that time to earn more money, buy more goods, use your strength and your energy to enjoy those goods, and you could live a really exciting, joyful life. But one day, it will all end. That's corruption. See, the idea of corruption doesn't always mean that it's going to, like, make you worse and worse. I mean, maybe the rich get worse and worse, but I sure see some of the rich who look like their life's getting better and better. But one day, the ultimate harvest of that is it all goes away. Or you can use those same resources to sow to the Spirit, and you can have eternal life. So here are two truths. Self-deception is very easy. Did you see what verse 6 said? Verse 7 said, do not be deceived. I'm really good at this. I'm really good at convincing myself that I'm putting all my efforts into my spiritual growth. But I'm not really. And the other truth in that verse is God is not mocked. You ever thought about that? Mocking God? I don't think there's anybody in this room that would ever dream of mocking God. None of you would do that. If God stood in front of you, you wouldn't make faces at him and tease him. That's an interesting Greek word to look up, by the way, sometime, to mock God. But here's the idea. If God gives you these seeds to sow, and you kind of get this little thought in your head that you're going to take these seeds to sow and use them only for your benefit, the freedom that God gave you, you're going to serve yourself in this life. And you think you're going to get away with something. God's not mocked. See, God didn't put the seed into the farmer's hands so he could just eat the seed that he wanted and throw the rest away. He put the seed into the farmer's hand so that he could put it in the earth and grow a crop, not only that he could share in, but that everybody could. And that brings us to the laws of sowing and reaping, the laws of harvest. The truths of sowing and reaping. I'm going to give you six things, and this will be the end of the lesson. Just think about the truth of these statements, whether you're thinking about farming or whether you're thinking about the principle of sowing and reaping. Rule number one, we reap only what we sow. There will never be a farmer that will go out and plant soybean seeds and will reap a harvest of tobacco. That won't happen. You only reap what you sow. And that's what chapter 6, verse 7 says. Chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows. See the whatever? That's a rule. Second rule. We will reap in a different season than we sow. By the way, this is what's so difficult about sowing and reaping, is that there's some amount of time you gotta wait for the benefit. And that's what verse 9 says. Look at verse 9 of chapter 6. For in due time. And that principle is all over the Bible, by the way. James 5, verses 7 and 8, the farmer's got to patiently wait for the harvest. One of my favorites is Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. If you sow in tears, you eventually will reap in joy. If you carry around a bag that's empty because you sowed the seed, eventually the bag will be full. But you got to wait. That's a rule. Rule number three. We reap more than we sow. Isn't that cool? Think about it. You take a seed and you put it in the ground. And a stalk doesn't come up and give you one seed. A stalk comes up and gives you all kinds of seeds. That's the way God made it. So, whatever we do in our measly little life, you remember the illustration that Eli helped with this week? That string in your life's just that dot. Whatever we sow in that little amount of time reaps something much larger for us, like eternal life. For real? You know, the money you put in the basket, the time that you spent here to listen, that's such a small investment for a harvest that is far greater than what we sow. That's a rule. Another rule. We reap in proportion to what we sow. Now, that's not the same thing as reaping more than we sow. The idea is God loves a cheerful giver, like we read in 2 Corinthians 9. He who sows sparingly will what? Reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Jesus would talk about in the parable of the sower that the good soil might produce 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. But that had a lot to do with whether or not we sowed sparingly or whether we sowed bountifully. That's just a rule. Another rule of sowing and reaping. We reap the good harvest only when we persevere. Think this through for a minute. A farmer goes out into his field. He wants a good harvest. He cannot go out one day, plant the seed, and go to bed for 3 months. Unless he's growing ginseng, right, David? Ask David about that. But that's not how it works. If you want a good harvest, what do we learn in this text? Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." You have to persevere for a good harvest to come. But time out. You ever thought about the inverse of this? Out in your front yard, out in your backyard at your house, if you don't stay diligent, does anything grow? Yep. Evil harvest grows. Dandelions. Thorns. Here's the rule. This is the rule. Perseverance brings about good crop. If you don't persevere, evil crop is axiomatic. It just happens. You don't give like you're supposed to give, bad things will come. You don't study like you're supposed to study, bad things will come. But if you persevere, good will come. All right, let's finish with an encouraging one. You ready for the last rule of harvest? Last season is gone, and the harvest ahead is all that we can control. I know that all of us have messed this up at times. So look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "While we have opportunity." Look, you may have wasted lots of years of your life, and the harvest that you produced from your time and money and energy and strength didn't bring you the spiritual results that you hoped, and you can mourn about that. And you can be sad about that. But you know, if a farmer goes through a period of time where his whole thing gets wrecked, the only hope he has is the next season. So, what are you going to do next? This is also God's gift to us. He doesn't just give us the seed, and he doesn't just bring about the harvest. He gives us season after season after season to get it right. So let's encourage each other with this. We're going to sing a song.